Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into N5D Radio, the next dimension in radio, where we bring you the hottest, in-depth, spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric conversations and news with your hosts, Greg Prescott and Kendra Gilbert. Get ready for spirit, body, and mind to expand in 3, 2, 1.
Namaste, and welcome to N5D Radio, coming to you from the 99% Quartz Crystal Sands of Sarasota, Florida, every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and 12 a.m. midnight in the UK. I'm your host, Greg Prescott from N5D.com, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be raising the vibration of the planet, galaxy, and universe. Tonight, we'll be talking with Galactic Master Astrologer Lavendar about how to find out your starseed markings on your birth chart, walk-ins, starseeds, and much more. But first, I'd like to bring in my co-hosts, coming to you from Ocala, Florida, licensed massage therapist, energy worker, and artist, Kendra Gilbert. Hi, Kendra.
Hey, Greg. How are you tonight?
I am really pumped up for tonight's show with Lavendar.
Me too, Greg. Me too. Our listeners are in for a real treat, both those that already are familiar with Lavendar's work and those who are completely new to her. And speaking of being pumped up, let's hit on tonight's news. Many of us in the metaphysical and astrological communities have turned our eyes to the July 29th grand sextile planetary alignment that's set to take place. There are many who are calling the sacred geometric lineup the one we've been waiting for. Only time's going to tell what this powerful alignment's going to bring to humanity, but maybe the more important question is, what will we bring to it? In other news, as UFOs and other strange phenomenon increases in reports around the world, a sense of imminent disclosure is on the rise, but will it happen soon? And, as if lame horse meat burgers, aborted fetal cell beverages, and toilet water ice cubes aren't enough, our dear friend the FDA has approved the very first GMO flu vaccine set to grace humanity with its toxic poisoning in 2014. The flu block vaccine was approved in early 2013 and sports a nice cocktail of ingredients such as recumbent DNA and an insect virus known as baculovirus. So the next time you're asked if you had your flu shot, just say no and then run to your nearest exit as quickly as possible. For more information about these headlines and more news, please visit the N5D website. Back to you, Greg.
All right, thanks. On October 4th through the 6th, 2013, N5D.com will be hosting our first annual Return to Atlantis conference here in Sarasota, Florida, on the 99% Quartz Crystal Sands of Lido Key Beach, featuring Lisa Renee, Teal Scott, Laura Eisenhower, Dr. Dream, astrologer Tom K. Pacholescher, and galactic historian Andrew Bartis, who has the rare ability to read universal and individual Akashic records. On Friday night, Dr. Dream will be leading a new moon beach glow activation. On Saturday night, we're going to have a cosmic reunion beach party. And on Sunday night, we're all going to meet at the Siesta Key Drum Circle. Our speakers will be featured from late morning until mid-afternoon, so that'll leave everybody plenty of time to do a little sightseeing or just hang out on the beach. There are only 90 tickets available to this event, and there's a good chance it'll sell out before the end of September. And when that happens, you can still be able to view all six speakers through live stream. You can find out more info about the Return to Atlantis conference by visiting www.n5devents.com or click the link below this video. And I'm looking, and I see our guest Lavendar is here. Would you like to bring her in?
Absolutely. Our guest tonight has many credits to her name, galactic shaman and astrologer, the author of two books, Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, and 50 Questions and Answers, the founder of the Starseed Hotline website, which was created to assist starseeds in their journey and missions here on Earth. She has nearly 30 years dedicated to the extraterrestrial beings known as the Pleiadians as a galactic scribe and emissary, as has been a firsthand witness to ET demonstrations and participated in their projects. Currently, she's releasing information from her journals that have been locked in a vault since 1983 by Pleiadian directive on her Starseed Radio Academy talk show. She's known also for her discovery of star marking codes in astrological charts and the coining of the phrase starseed. It gives us a great pleasure to introduce and welcome Lavendar to In5D tonight. Hello, Lavendar. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lavendar.
Hello, Kendra and Greg. So glad that you invited me to come on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on In5D Radio. Would you like to tell our listeners a little about you and perhaps how you got involved in what you're doing?
Well, I have had lots of experience with high strangeness, you know, all of my life. And the main thing that I would really like to talk about tonight, though, is how I discovered star markings and people's astrological charts. So if you don't mind, I will just start with telling a story about that.
Okay? Well, that's great.
Well, I was living in Cripple Creek, and it was about 1980, and I was taking a break, I thought, away from work. And so I'd travel into town, and wherever I'd go, I would take my ephemeris with me, and I would look up people's birth dates. And so after the eclipse on February 16th, 1980, that eclipse was at 26 Aquarius, no matter, you know, where I was or who I was meeting for the first time, I started finding people with 25, 26, and 27-degree planets. It made no difference whether they were young or old, and I mean every one of them would have 25, 26, 27-degree planets. And I now call these the starseed codes. Well, you know, when you think about 360 degrees in a wheel and 12 zodiacal signs with 30 degrees in each sign, so to my amazement, there's only 36 chances out of 360 that I'd find somebody with these three particular starseed codes. So, you know, when I would ask people, even as I traveled, this went on for 3.5 years, and chefs, taxi cab drivers, stewardesses, pilots, hairdressers, I mean, no matter where I went, there was only these people. And so I was in a restaurant one night, and I had this impulse. I stood up and announced that I was working on a project, and I needed to have everyone's birthday, so I passed a tablet around for everyone to write their information. There were about 75 people in the restaurant, and I surely was going to find one that was not starseed. Wrong. Every person had the markings. I just about flipped. What made these people be there at that moment? And why did I stand up and ask for their birth dates? This is when I knew how planned out this was by beings a lot more attuned than I. Of course, later that night, I drank a lot of wine because I knew that I was in for something called Beyond the Beyond. So this went on from February 16th of 1980 until November 18th, 1983. And in those 3.5 years, I was really compelled to ask every person their birth information. But after I came back from the Great Pyramid of Giza, and it stopped. It was like on my flight home, I was continuing, you know, asking the pilots and the stewardesses, but they didn't have them. When I got to New York, they didn't have them. When I got to Aruba, they didn't have them. I went, oh, my goodness, it's over. So 3.5 years of this was this intense, and I mean intense, tracking that I would find only these people with these signs. So now I have been, you know, working with lots of different people through our website. People have, you know, found me, and I started putting together soul groups with these star markings. We have star markings with the Jesus Mary Magdalene bloodline. We have markings that clue into the Atlantis experiment. We have the crystal master crystal ship markings, which are 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Capricorn or Cancer. And so last year, I had a whole group of people start showing up about the same time, and I said, oh my goodness, they have all these markings that show mastership with crystals. So we put together a starseed crystal quest to Arkansas, and we had about 27 people. And what was amazing about this particular group is that everyone seemed to know everyone else, and people would start their conversations with with something and someone else would finish it, and there was no chaos. There was just harmony and balance throughout the entire time. So I'm excited to know that I've found a tracking device through astrological timing that's able for me to find these people through these charts and to put them together and to, you know, have functions like the Starseed Quest. Like, you know, I understand that you have a lot of crystal sand down there in Florida. You know, I was in Sarasota for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I know about the area where you are.
Oh, it's beautiful down here. I love it. The energy, I'll tell you, as soon as I stepped foot on the sand, I knew I had to live here.
Well, I spent that year in 1979 there, and I had one of the strangest experiences of my life there. I was taken to the hospital, and I was in those days, you know, being a Sagittarian, you know, my mouth's like a torn pocket. So when I went there, I had a kidney stone, or at least I thought it was a kidney stone. What they removed, though, was metallic. It wasn't a kidney.
Really?
And I ended up with, you know, three guys at the foot of my bed, you know, men in black, standing there, you know, asking me questions. And there was an incident that happened in the operating room. My heart actually stopped, and a blue light came down and got my heart going again and scared everyone so that everyone ran out of the room. And the reason I found out about this is the head nurse was the sister of my hairdresser. And when she told her sister what had actually happened, because everybody else, you know, had to sign a piece of paper saying it never happened, that was my introduction to Sarasota.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, they say it's like one of the biggest metaphysical communities in the area. So there's a lot of people that are being drawn here for some reason or another.
Yes. I think there's pockets of areas on the planet where there's kind of a signal that goes out. And it's a silent signal. It's, you know, but I think people just kind of wake up and say, you know, I've got to move to Sedona, or I've got to go to Flagstaff, or I've got to go to Sarasota,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, and they'll start
mm-hmm.
these communities. And I noticed the areas where they are and the ley lines and how they're hooked up to the grids, especially
mm-hmm.
to the grids on the other side of the planet. So
mm-hmm.
there's really something to tracking the star seeds that are coming together and living in certain areas, I find.
Well, it's really interesting because Lisa Renee is going to be one of our speakers, and she doesn't do very many public speaking engagements, and she's just like utterly drawn to this area to help fix or repair some ley line, as you were mentioning. So,
yes, you know, I really adore her work. It's been years. I met her, probably 25 years ago, and she probably doesn't remember meeting me, but I've kept up with her work, and I'm really glad to see that she's coming out and being part of your group there in October.
Mm-hmm. You know, recently we had an astrologer guest, Jim Del Colle, on N5D Radio, and he said it would be interesting to get 100 people together at the same time and do all their charts and then see who gravitates towards one another. And it was his belief that specific charts would line up and these people would be drawn to one another. So I guess my question to you is this. Do you think these people would be meeting one another on a higher starseed type of level as well?
Yes, I'm sure of it. You know, one of the things that really I guess kind of put me over the edge with all of this was when I was in Florida. I got a phone call one day. I was in Fort Lauderdale at the time, and my friend said, "Oh, there's going to be this guy that's going to be talking about genius and astrology, and he's put together the charts for the Nobel Peace Prize winners." Now, at that very moment that I got this phone call, I was receiving an 83-page fax about the Nobel Peace Prize winners, because I was working on a project with Dennis Weaver, and about Nobel Prize winners. So as she was saying this to me, and I'm looking at the fax machine and these pages, I'm going, wow, what is this? This is more than, you know, a coincidence. So I said, yes, I would go to the meeting. So when I went to the meeting and I you know, heard his lecture, afterwards I walked up to him and I said, you know, I have this theory that 25, 26, and 27 degrees are starseed codes. And I said, where do you live? And he told me, and I said, can I go home with you? And can I look at your charts? Can I look at your computer? And he said, sure. So I drove home with him, and we set up till, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And here's what I found. I found that 95% of all Nobel Peace Prize winners were born and died with the markings, and they all had the markings when they received their prize. Now, when this happened, I knew that I was tracking genius on the planet. This was a very, very big turning point for me when I saw this. Hello, are you there?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry. You know, Snowden,
yeah.
the whistleblower Snowden was just nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. I'd be curious what his birth date is and if he falls in that group.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'll have to maybe find out his. Surely someone has his birth information somewhere. Someone's tracked
yeah.
him down by now, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm definitely. You know, and for those who are listening that aren't familiar what a starseed is, maybe you can explain that to them.
Okay. Starseeds are beings that are here that have an extraterrestrial frequency to them, either by their soul, meaning that they have lived on other planets or on been aboard spaceships in other times and spaces before they came to this planet. And there's, you know, the walk-ins, there's a walk-in group that came about 2 years ago. I guess, well, it's been November of 2010. A lot of Pleiadian ships came down to the planet and brought a lot of walk-in beings. In other words, there was a switch-out. There were beings that were beamed up, and then there were beings that were beamed down back into the same bodies. And it happened all over the planet. They've done this several times. I first heard about this from them in 1983 when I was in the Great Pyramid of Giza in Cairo, Egypt, that they were going to be doing these kinds of walk-in experiments. In fact, when I was in the Great Pyramid with 18 people, they gave a demonstration for us. They didn't tell me ahead of time. In fact, I was very, very upset because one of the people that went inside the sarcophagus stopped breathing and was dead. And I thought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? This person has died in front of me in this sarcophagus. So I jumped in and I started, you know, rubbing his arms, and I had bought flower remedies. I don't know why I thought that would work. But I was doing everything I could. Then all of a sudden, there was this deep breath. Took a deep breath, and this voice came out that said, they didn't give me any arms. I thought, oh, my goodness. And so he gets up, and he steps out of the sarcophagus. Now, there was this little girl that he'd been billing and cooing with that they were so in love, right? He gets up and walks straight past her, didn't acknowledge her. In fact, didn't even know who she was. And that was one of the first demonstrations that I got to see about a walk-in.
Lavendar, I have a question for you. Do all of the walk-ins or the individuals that experience this walk-in happening, do they remember any of this? Can they recall, you know, what's going on? I mean, do they have a recollection or an understanding of what's happening?
Some of them do and some of them don't. Some of them, you know, they simply do the exchange and they go ahead and finish out some of the responsibilities of the person that, you know, they just walked into, like family. But a lot of them will come and and speed up the evolution of everything that's around them, including the family, their job, or whatever. And within a few months, maybe a couple of years, that person is, you know, totally into another occupation. They may leave their families, or they will change totally and go about their work doing the global work on the planet. They come to unify the global movement of evolution. They don't really come to work off people's individual karma. They come as a collective group of souls that agree that they should, you know, do certain things at certain times. It's very mathematically worked out with precision. In other words, a lot of them will agree to meet other walk-ins, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years down the way, you know, at a place and time to meet and to further their global efforts.
That's very interesting. Now, as far as the walk-ins are concerned, now you're saying that they could actually change their personalities can change. They can change in multiple different ways. I mean, so you're saying that the person would actually be aware of it, of what's going on within themselves. They'll know that they're in a different body. I mean, are they actually aware of the change that?
Some of them will come down, and because of the body that they have, maybe that particular body doesn't hold memory very well, okay? And so it may take them some time, because there will be beings that will come and lift them out of body at night and school them and put them back. And this will go on for some time until they're well adjusted.
Okay.
I've had a solar return chart reading with you, Lavendar, and you mentioned that I've had 5 walk-ins. How can you tell how many walk-ins a person's had?
It's individual. It's a place where when I look at a chart and I hear someone's voice, then something turns on in my scope, and so I just start tracking from that particular, you know, resonant field. It's an individual thing. Not all people, you know, have walk-ins. But when I read for you, I knew that you had really been put on a high assignment here on the planet. And I felt like also that you've got attachments. I call them drop-bys. It's like
uh-huh.
They come, say, 5 or 10 minutes, and they leave. It's like an energy comes down, gives you a thought, gives you something to write about or something to say, and then it comes from a very high up order for you to be able to tune into it at that moment in time. But it's a blending. It blends. It's not a takeover. I really want to stress that these walk-ins, they don't come and push people out of their bodies. It's all about the agreement that a soul will make. For instance, if a soul comes down on a high assignment, but they find they're in the wrong place, they're at the wrong time, they've missed their opportunities, and they want to bail out, then that's when an agreement can be made for that soul to leave and another one will come.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a really strict rules and regulations from the ships that do help conduct these walk-in experiments. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of beings. There's Pleiadians, there's the Arcturians, there's the Lyrians, there's the Vegans. There's so many different species down here that use the same mode of operation, including
the Vegans. Uh-huh. And getting back to what Kendra was kind of saying, you know, and this is pretty interesting. As of about a year and a half ago, my hair was predominantly gray. And then all of a sudden I started drinking distilled water and my hair turned blonde. And but I was wondering, did that have something to do possibly with having a walk-in at that point in time?
Very possibly. Very possibly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
how many walk-ins?
When was this? How long ago?
About a year and a half ago that happened.
Okay.
Yeah. So how many walk-ins do people typically have, and what are their reasons for having them?
Well, it's an agreement that they make long before they come to the planet that they'll be, you know, they put their hand up for it. It's like, you know, it's like when you're aboard a spaceship and you live there for, you know, a long time in between Earth lifetimes, you can actually plan exactly how you want to come and be on the planet. And it's like you walk around with an iPad going, okay, I want my body to have this and that. You know, I want to be able to be there and meet my other soul group over here in this family. And then if they've been incarnating in a certain bloodline, they'll choose to come back in that bloodline. I'm finding a lot of people come about every seventh lifetime in the same bloodline, or every third one, if they're holding bloodlines that have a lot of starseed markings. I have a lot of clients that tell me they go to cemeteries and they look back at their ancestors, where their ancestors are buried, and they find that a lot of their ancestors were born between, you know, the 15th and the 20th of the month, which is the place to check for these star dates.
Mm-hmm.
So when they find that, then they go, yeah, I have a feeling, you know, they say, I have a feeling that I'm really connected to this through the bloodlines. And this is something that I've really been researching recently, is the ancestral frequency of the blood, the bloodline, that people choose to incarnate, especially now that the soul groups are starting to come together. And I think that's one of the reasons that I was given the 25, 26, and 27 degree planet starseed codes, because there's something about finding these individuals and letting them find each other. And now that we have the internet and everything is global, one of our plans for Starseed Hotline is to write some software where people can go on and type their birth information, and they'll be able to find other people that have these star markings in the charts like they have. And that's going to be one of our projects that we'll be working on to get that software written.
That sounds wonderful, Lavender. Yeah, I have a question. Speaking of bloodlines, you know, I've always had a very, very strong interest in understanding exactly what the Rh negative blood might mean as in terms of like an extraterrestrial connection. Do you have any insight to what possibly the Rh negative blood might be from?
Yes, it's definitely ET related. Definitely. And, you know, the scientists, they say, oh, that's junk DNA. We don't know what that is. Well, I'm really glad they don't know what it is. It's a frequency in the blood that carries information that has to do with the extraterrestrial experiments on the planet. And during the time of Atlantis, they're just before Atlantis went down, the ETs came in mass and started lifting a lot of people up and putting them in different places on the planet. But they would give them shots, and these shots would go from bloodline to bloodline. I mean, they would just travel on and on and on and on and on. And this is what we came to know as junk DNA.
Wow. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, there's a shot that mainstream medicine or medical doctors are, you know, give women. It's the Rogaine shot, which I unfortunately had the pleasure of being scared into receiving when I had my son, my last son. He's now 6 years old. Do you think that there's any kind of agenda possibly behind that Rogaine shot, other than
I don't really know what's in. I don't know. I haven't researched that. I can't give you any information about that. I don't know.
Okay. I was just curious, you know, because they've really scared me into taking it and said that my body would actually, you know, try to attack the fetus. So it was always something that I was wondering.
What did they tell you the purpose of it was?
Well, it said to keep, you know, my body from, you know, attacking the fetus so that it could, you know, be possibly life-threatening for the baby. So, you know, and really a lot of it was kind of unclear, and they said something about it being, you know, to do with, you know, the firstborn son and all this other stuff. And it just didn't seem to really, like, medically add up to me in my mind. And I went ahead and went through it anyway, but I always was wondering, did they do something to me? I've had a little bit of paranoia ever since because of it, to be quite honest. So,
oh, wow. I don't know. I really don't know. That's the first time I've really heard about it, so I might have to take a look at that.
Well, I appreciate it very, very much. Greg, did you have anything else?
Yeah, you just touched on Atlantis. Now, I've had several dreams about living in Atlantis. In one dream, I was an artist, and I created beautiful sculptures there. And in the other dream, I was there at the end of Atlantis, and I was a scientist in charge of the genetic modification of animals and insects. And in this dream, I was underwater, yet I was cognizant, looking at some of the horrendous things that I created. And I remember telling myself over and over again, we can't let this happen again. And now we see Monsanto doing the same thing. What can you tell us about the Atlantean Soul Group, and why are we coming back, and what is our purpose?
Well, one of the things is, of course, never again Atlantis. That's the motto of the souls that have chosen to come to the planet at this time and to live and to make sure that we don't repeat Atlantis. There's a lot of beings that are being rewired, reactivated. A lot of walk-ins come with the information from Atlantis. And there is a global group mind that actually happens mostly when people go to sleep at night. A lot of them are taken up into other realms to hold a frequency and light, especially over some of these scientists and some of these people on the planet that have, you know, very strong agendas about being destructive. And a lot of these souls have pledged themselves to split off and be, their bodies will be in their bed, but their souls will be up doing something else at night in order to protect the people on the planet from these kinds of atrocities happening. So you mentioned Monsanto. Yes, that whole agenda is part of the old Atlantean group, and they're fixing to get busted big time. It's gonna run its course, and then it's gonna reverse, and it's gonna be taken care of.
Well, you mentioned dreams. I have a rare sleep disorder, where I immediately go into the dream state, and I don't get any of the deep sleep state. I could be sitting on the sofa nodding off, and by the time my chin hits my chest, I've had a dream that seemed like it lasted several hours long. So, what is the importance of dreams, and what are we really doing when we're asleep?
I don't really have a whole lot of information about dreams per se, only because when I'm taken up aboard ship, they give me a dream sequence that has nothing to do with what's happening for me. So it's like they'll give me a dream sequence that has nothing to do with what I just did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It'll be, you know, nonsense or just, you know, I'm not the person to ask about dreams. But I can tell you that twice a year, January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7, that a lot of beings are taken out of their bodies and taken inside the mountain of the Grand Tetons, where their souls are put through an emerald computer that shows them holographically to be, you know, they form a figure of holographic form, and instructions are given to them, and then they're brought back to their body, and then when they wake up, if they look on their thumbs, they'll see these little red dots on the top of their thumbs, and that's where they get their shots of non-remembrance, which means they'll wake up and they won't remember a thing that's happened. Now, what I have through the years with these meetings is that if you're gone 45 minutes, it's really 2 weeks there. So when you said that you nodded off and had a dream and it seemed like it was a very long time, it probably was.
Lavender, I had a question. Are the star seeds, well, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad echo here. Are star seeds any more resilient or the other opposite, more susceptible to some of the environmental things that are going on, like, diseases? And, I mean, do we have a stronger immune system to it, I guess is what I'm trying to ask?
I'm finding that's another thing that I've been researching with these 25, 26, and 27-degree planets. It seems like the more star markings in a chart, the stronger the resilience of the bloodline and the person is. It's like if they cut themselves, they heal really fast. Or maybe that, you know, everybody starts getting the flu and colds and they don't. Yeah, there's something about them. I'm noticing if there's like, say, 5 or 6 planets that are 25, 26, 27 degrees, it seems that someone has stacked the deck in this person's system where they have very, very strong immune systems.
Wow.
So it's
okay.
Like they're carrying that shot that I was talking about, okay? Now, I just mentioned the Atlantean shots, but at different times of history, they've come down to give the shots of remembrance to bloodlines so that they'd be able to carry on those bloodline experiments. So it isn't just Atlantis during the times of the shots. It's been other times as well.
Is there any specific advice on how we could protect ourselves or cleanse ourselves against any of the different things that are going on? Or do you recommend any certain types of crystals or anything like that, or anything that we could do to help protect ourselves a little bit better?
Well, I'm finding that most star seeds, walk-ins, light workers, there's one common denominator, and that is our silica supply gets depleted. Why? Cell phones, cell phone towers, Monsanto, aspartame, computers, technology. If you're around it, it seems to deplete your silica in your body. So I try to tell all of my clients to if you can't get it in natural form, like watermelon, oatmeal, strawberries, those are, you know, natural things that have a lot of silica in them. But to go to the health food store and get that 12X silica and those little tablets that dissolve under your tongue, cell salts, I keep a bottle of in a couple of rooms where I just pop them in my mouth constantly because I know that I need it. And the silica, of course, is the wave carrier for frequency of all sorts. You know, our brains have a lot of silica in them. And the pineal has silica sand at the bottom. So when it gets depleted, you know, it's harder to focus on meditation or have communication outside of this world if your silica is depleted in your body. So silica, I would say, is something that you can make sure that you have a lot of it. Now, silica, of course, is quartz, and quartz crystal is the common denominator between all planets. On all planets, there's quartz crystal grids inside the planets, and it's how beings have been able to communicate from planet to planet, and it is through quartz crystal. It is the common denominator. So when you think about so above, so below, then here we sit with our brains, and if we don't have enough silica to keep our brain computers going, then we get tired, we get run down, and we get listless, or we get depressed, or whatever. Things will just start happening. So the main thing to do is keep your silica supply up high.
Now, you just spoke about the grid. Maybe you can explain what the grid is. And does the grid move over time?
Well, when the planet was formed, it was formed with a crystal grid, and there's 33 gem power points on the planet that intersect with other beings, other experiment. There are places on the planet where adjustments are made to the grid at different times throughout history. Like every 26,000 years, the grid is adjusted. And we've just come into another phase of that, and that's one of the things that actually was happening at December 20th of this year with the Mayan calendar. It was an adjustment of the grid. There were a lot of things that were taking place. Maybe we didn't see the kind of things that people were talking about that were going to happen, but the subtleties of the energetics that I've noticed since that time really give me a lot of hope and inspiration for these new kids that are they're being born, the indigos, the crystal children. More and more people are having experiences that they can talk about, and things are not kept so secret anymore. That it's almost like, you know, someone has actually jerked the veil off of people's faces, and they're going, wow, I can see. It's like they've had a big strong shot of cosmic Windex on their glasses. And that's very exciting to me, because the more people wake up and are able to take the information and run with it, the more the truth is going to come out about a lot of things. Now, as far as us waiting for disclosure, I don't think that none of us are going to actually wait for the government to tell us anything about disclosure. I think that there's a lot of us that know and have seen so many things already and taken pictures of them. And as the ships start coming down in mass, which will happen eventually, disclosure will be too late. It's like everyone will see it all at once. People will be taking, you know, from their phones, taking pictures. And how are you going to cover that up? You can't.
Nope. Zerubbabel Melchizedek talks about these energies that he believes that we go in cycles of approximately 12,000 years, where right now we're ending the masculine energy, and as we see, it's all ending horrendously in wars and all sorts of crap going on the planet, and then we switch over to the feminine energy, and then at the end of the feminine energy, it usually turns into over-nurturing and starvation and stuff like that. Do you see the grid? Is the grid kind of like connected in that way of different energies of masculine, feminine, or is it just one overall unified energy?
It's unified energy. Mm-hmm. I have not heard about the 12,000 year thing that you just taught. I have not heard about that.
Okay.
Where did that come from?
Zerubbabel Melchizedek.
Okay, Zerubbabel. Okay, no, I just haven't.
Yeah.
Hadn't tapped into that.
I
mostly track the 26,000 year cycles, and also 10,500 years ago is when we really came into quarantine on the planet. It's like after Atlantis, a quarantine was put up. It's real easy to come here. It's real hard to get out of here, because once beings come here, there's a certain way that you have to recycle, and there's an ascension process. And so, you know, that's the way I've been tracking it. It's mostly because of the Atlantean times and having so many Atlanteans now that have started to resurface on the planet and have memories of it. We're going to see more and more movies and books, and a lot of things are going to be coming up about Atlantis. And so is the information about Greece and Athena and some of the goddess information. We're going to have in the early 80s, we had a crystal craze, you know, like for 2 or 3 years there. It's like all of a sudden there were these metaphysical bookstores and these crystal shops, and there was just this craze that happened. Well, there's going to be that again, but it's going to have to do with Athena, goddess, divine feminine, and also the Atlantean information. A lot of that information is going to start circulating, and you're going to see more and more information come up about it.
So why was the quarantine placed on us to begin with?
Because of the misuse of power, and they were not going to allow the interstellar commerce, or it's like they ended that particular time when beings could leave here and go to other planets. They weren't going to allow that energy of war or anything like it to leave the planet, and they still don't. I mean, why do you think, you know, when you get pictures of our Earth and the space junk that is going around our Earth, why do you think that, you know, we're not allowed to go hardly anywhere? Because we don't even know how to take care of this planet. Why should we go and pollute someone else's planet? I mean, when was the last time Earth was ever asked to fix anything in the universe? Never.
Lavendar, in your book, The 50 Questions and Answers, there was a part in there that explained that Jehovah is the God that's going to be returning to Earth shortly, and that many are going to mistake him for Jesus. Will Jehovah appear to be like as a human, or, I mean, isn't he like a war god? Or is this going to be a planet? Because there's other people that have called the planets the gods. So when you say that Jehovah will be the God that's going to be returning, are you meaning the influence or an actual being?
He's an actual being with mighty ships, and he came to the planet a very, very long time ago, and actually through Athena, it was her time to leave anyway, but he came a little soon, and she went back to the Pleiades, and it's like they all have their turn being on the planet to do certain things, and it was his time to come. And Jehovah, with his war tactics. You know, when you're reading the Bible, you know, it'll say a God of love, and then you'll turn the page, and it'll be a God of war. And through the Catholic Church and through many, many hundreds of years of deciphering the Bible, they actually omitted that there were two gods. There was Yahweh, and there was Jehovah. And so when Jehovah does, well, actually, he's been coming back and forth. He hasn't really made a big demonstration in a very long time, but he will be making another demonstration. And a lot of people will think that it will be Jesus returning. But at the same time, Yahweh is going to show up too. So I don't think it's going to be mistaken whoever one is when this does come about. And I think it will be in the next few years that this will take place. And the reason I think that is because of the way that everything is being speeded up and the consciousness, and when people are really ready to embrace their natural state, their rites of passage and why they're here on the planet. And I think that everything is getting speed up, especially in bloodlines and memories. I mean, this is a very exciting time to be in the metaphysical arena, because we're standing in the middle of great change. And it's not just about disclosure. It's not about that. It's about the evolution of our species.
So is humanity under the enslavement or control of Jehovah and Yahweh? Are they going to fight it out? I mean, is that what the returning of them is about? I'm confused about that, because Jehovah was always referred to as the warring type of God, where Yeshua was the loving God. I'm correct about that, right?
Right, you are. But it's not going to be like a war that we think of a war as. I mean, it's like these are very high beings that play on different levels of energetics. It won't be like bombs and bullets or anything like that. That's not the way they operate. You know, how can I explain this? No one's asked me this in a long time.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll get it here in a minute. It's about the bloodlines and the people. Take, for instance, Jesus. Now, when Jesus was here on the planet, There were 12 years that he was missing, and no one knew where he was. And I was told that he went aboard ship, the Star of Bethlehem. Am I echoing pretty bad?
No.
Is there a way you can fix that?
It sounds good on my end. I don't hear an echo. Do you, Kendra? Kendra?
Oh, no, there I am. Yes, I do. Yes, she is echoing. I'm sorry, I was on mute. But she is. I can hear it.
Yeah, I don't hear any. And I don't have any volume up on my end.
Okay. So, what did I just say? I just lost my train of thought. Wow. Just came and went.
Kendra, you asked her a question.
Yes, the question was basically, I'm just trying to figure out in my head or fathom of, you know, what's going to take place when Jehovah and Yahweh come, and you said you were trying to help me understand that it's not really going to be a war of violence and bullets flying and everything else, that it's going to be done differently, and I think that's kind of where you were kind of trying to help me understand what it's actually going to be.
Okay, I was talking about Jesus. When Jesus left for 12 years.
Yeah.
No one knew where he went. Well, he actually was beamed down all over the planet, and he impregnated a lot of women. And he wanted his bloodline to be all over the planet. It was designed this way so that the bloodlines would rise up and hold the light, and hold his particular light of energies that would be able to help transform the world. And to also to hold the energy steady for when the souls from Atlantis would come back. And when Jehovah would come back, it's like there, when you think about how many bloodlines and how many people, you know, are carrying the bloodline of Jesus on the planet, there's a huge, huge movement that is happening about Jesus and Mary Magdalene. There's these places in France. In fact, Kathleen McGowan, who wrote The Expected One, The Book of Love, and The Poet's Prince, she and I and her husband and our group took 27 people to France last year. And they had these starseed markings in their charts, which were 25, 26, 27 of Pisces or Virgo. And we went and saw all the places that were indicative of Mary Magdalene and her bloodline, and how they went to France, to the René Le Château area. So there's more interest in this. People are gravitating to. People are waking up. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that have such a deep love for Jesus and Mary Magdalene. It's just, it seems to be like an overnight thing that it started happening about 2 or 3 years ago.
Very interesting. Lavendar, we actually have some callers here. We're going to go ahead and bring in Maureen, 860. One moment. Maureen, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Maureen?
This is Maureen. Susan.
Oh, okay. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, Susan. Sorry.
That's okay.
Misidentity. Did you have a question for Lavendar?
I just wanted to know if I could give her my date of birth.
Well, I don't have my ephemeris. I'm in another room without my.
Oh, okay. I don't know how it works, but I'm just finding this so fascinating, because I've been receiving energies here and there, not so much lately, but just words that aren't English and. It's just like I'm touched by them, like they just come to me, and I don't know what it means exactly.
Well, there may be things that are awakening in your bloodline, you know, or your soul records. When you know, when soul records, bloodline, and astrological timing comes together, there's a big wake up call that happens to lots of people on the planet. And at different times, I notice the new moon and full moon, especially if they're at starseed degrees, if they're 25, 26, or 27 degrees, that I see a lot of movement and happenings that I normally don't see in that two-week period from new moon to full moon. So you start new projects on a new moon, and then you complete them on a full moon. So what is your birth date? I don't have it to look at, but just let me hear your birth date.
10/29/1958.
So no, I would have to calculate that. On our website, you can get your starseed confirmation done. I know that Ariel, she's booked about 2 months in advance, and so am I. But she does them. You can get them for $25. She can tell you if you have these starseed markings, and she puts together an MP3 file and sends you the charts.
Love that.
And you can order them. And then later, if you wanted to have a session with me, you could put your order in for that too, and we could go into a greater depth.
Oh, that'd be great, because I know, but a very deep knowing that, especially in this past year, I have a very deep knowing that I never had before. It's like I just trust so much.
It's about knowing. I'm noticing that people are jumping from belief systems into knowing systems.
Yeah.
It's not that they believe things that they've been told by their teachers or parents or preachers. It's they wake up and they know things from a whole different perspective. And that's, to me, very exciting that we're having that happen now all over the planet. Like I said, the veil's being jerked completely off of people's faces, and they're waking up, and this is a very exciting time. I know that we're faced with all kinds of things. You turn on the news and you go, oh, my goodness, look at what's happening next. But all of that has to happen in order for the new energies to come to the planet. Because
I believe that, absolutely, that there's a specific reason for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
What is the website
I
go to? What is your website?
It is starseedhotline.com.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a link to it right below. Yeah, we put a link to it right below.
Yeah, okay.
So you should be able to see it right there.
Right.
Okay.
And there's lots of information on the website, and we have a Starseed Radio Academy every Tuesday, and there's the archives there that you can go back and hear a lot of our shows. The most one that's listened to is one called Crack Between the Worlds. It's a story that I've held in the bank vault for over 30 years and finally released that story. And it took me a little while to really come to grips with how I was going to present this information. But once I did, I was very well received. And so I'm really glad that I have been able to hold that information for all those years, and now I've been able to release it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that want this information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Susan, yeah, we have to move on, but thank you for calling in. All right.
Thanks for taking my
call.
Bye-bye,
Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next up we have Jay from Canada. Jay, you're on N5D Radio, brother.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good, actually. And just listening to the shows really sounds interesting, actually.
Do you have a question for Lavendar?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a question for Lavendar?
Yes, I do. My question is regarding how these planets are aligning for a whole bunch of different, you know, signs and stuff like that. I know it's astrology, but it seems like over the last few months have been really interesting for energies, and I just wonder how is that affecting, you know, people right now, and is it waking up the starseed, would you say, the DNA in people right now too, like really, really, really huge?
See these meetings that I was talking about that happened inside the mountain in the Tetons, mm-hmm. that have been going on for hundreds of years, but they're really after December. It's like, think of a chessboard and all the pieces getting thrown off and then getting new chess pieces put back on the chessboard. So as of January 1 of this year, and July 1 of this year. All new instructions are coming to us, and they're being fed to us for those of us that go inside the mountain and come back. For those of us that don't go inside the mountain, there's just activations happening all the time where you just wake up and you just know things. You just know that you need to maybe jump on an airplane and go see someone in a far distant country, or you just have sudden insight. I'm looking at just so many people that just are waking themselves up, and maybe it'll be a series of planets that will do it. It could be a bloodline activation, a thought form. There's a lot of Pleiadian ships that come down at certain times, especially in May and November on Pleiadian lineup, from the 15th to the 20th of May and November. The ships come down and they have this high-tech technology. It's like a ray that goes back and forth. And as people are sleeping, if you have these markings in your chart, if you have bloodlines that you're carrying this information with, when you wake up the next morning after the Pleiadians have gone back and forth over your town, then you have this sudden aha moment. And I'm seeing it happening all over the world. It's been going on fast and furious since January.
You know, it almost sounds like the junk DNA is awakening.
This
is interesting you say that, because you know a lot of stuff has happened since January. I find more been practicing peace and stuff like that through meditation, but it's interesting you say that about getting on a plane and doing stuff, because when I used to how would you say it, if a person was thinking me, I would actually think about that person and phone them up. But now I just go maybe searching around for this person, phone them up, and they were thinking about me. Like I wouldn't like think about it. I would just like do it now. And I don't know, for myself, I'm not aware of what that list is of how many people I got contact or anything. Like, I just go do it now. And it's interesting that you say that. I thought I was the only one, but I guess I'm not.
it's happening everywhere. I'm noticing that it's like the 100 monkey theory. You know that story, right? So
yeah.
It's like when several star seeds start waking up in certain little pockets, and they may be in California, but in Vermont, they may get it. I mean, it's like you never know where it's going to pop up. A whole group will go, oh, yeah. They'll have the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same, maybe there will be a scientist that's just invented something, and 1,000 other people will go, oh, yeah, I just invented this. It's mass production now all over the planet for thoughts, ideas, and the way the Internet is, because the Internet is literally hooking up our brains to a network of harmonics that's been fed by computers that hook our brains up, that's speeding everything up. I'm not sure that this would be happening this fast if we didn't have the Internet.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You're sitting in your little cubicle and you've got your computer and you think you're there by yourself, but maybe you're hooked up to millions of people all at once.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm totally digging the Internet, because through N5D, I'm hooking up tons of soul groups and families, star seeds, everybody. So thank God for the Internet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jay, we got to get moving. We got to move on to some more callers.
Course, but we're using it for the upside right now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Jay, for calling in. Definitely call on back, okay?
And
yeah,
Jay,
thanks,
take
thanks
your
much.
Silica.
Okay, I will.
All right, take care, brother.
Take care.
Okay. Kendra? Okay, we're going to bring on our next caller from area code 801. 801, you're on? Hello? 801.
Oh, I'm just listening on the phone. Go ahead.
Okay, we'll put you on mute. Okay, no problem. Okay. Yeah, some people, they call in on their cell phones, and that's how they tune into N5D Radio. So I guess the next one we would be bringing on would be, just trying to go in order of how long people have been waiting. It looks like Dale. Dale, hi. You're on N5D Radio.
Formerly Left to Dark. And, I just want to let everybody know, Starseed here, and it's working. I'm living now in Mount Shasta at the base of the mountain, and I work with clear quartz crystals. I actually make them, devices, healing devices, and headbands and healing rods, and lavendar, synchronicities here. I was just in the field of lavender on the north side of the mountain a few days ago. And wow, this is awesome. The we are disclosure. We are bringing forth the disclosure through our just our communications. I was living in Florida down there in Clearwater a couple of years ago. I got the urge. I just didn't have the wherewithal, and I was living in Colorado about 8 months ago, and I got the call to come to Mount Shasta. Just something internally felt driven to come, and I'm here, and it's been just one memo after another. I feel that I'm one of the things Lumerian in the combat. So we were here in the beginning, and I'm one of those that have come back here for the end game, so to speak. But in a very loving, gentle, majestic way. And my question to Lavendar is, yes, we are seeing a lot of the cabal doing their things. Do you perceive any launching of their agenda as far as this Eugenics 21? Do you see them actually getting started with this? Or is all that going to be circumvented?
It's going to be circumvented.
Good. That's kind of what I'm feeling, too. The frequencies that we carry are really making a difference.
Yeah, that was one of the things that was brought up at the Teton meetings in January.
I've also, in the past, I have had these, I don't want to really call it a welt, but it's more of a red mark of a triangle. What is that?
Well,
on my skin?
You know, when you wake up with marks on your body, they can be from several different reasons and purposes. Mostly, they put implants in your body to help you to, if you're a walk-in, you've got probably lots of implants in your body. They're of crystalline substance. Some of them are metallic. But this is how they help the beings on the planet to stay in alignment so that we can come into a place where we can literally transmute the kinds of things that the Illuminati and the Cabal are up to. And since we can't hit the planet with our manual of how to function here, they give us implants so that we can function through the information that's released through the implants. So there's a different technology that's down here helping us. Now there's some negative implants and there's some positive implants. I know that years ago there were people going, oh, we got implants, we got to get rid of them. Well, maybe not. I mean, maybe the implants are there to uplift humanity and the programs on the planet. However, there are some renegade ETs that do use implants for negative purposes. And they put a lot of scare tactics into people about implants.
I've been kind of curious about this, and I've really done a lot of research on this in the past, and I do feel at some point in my life that there have been implants, but for some reason I am being very protected. I am aware of several instances where I know my life should have perished, only to, you know, wake up on the side of a road or, you know, wake up abruptly in my bed. Obviously there's a mission that I'm on and I feel like I'm on the path, but What about this constant, never-ending ringing in the head? What is that about? What is that about? Because when I woke up back in November 5th, 2009, that started in my head. And it bothered me, but then I just, you know what, this is a new part of me, so be it. I no longer see it as a deterrent. I see it as an attribute. What is that?
Well, okay, the reason I laughed is because, yes, when you either get a walk-in or get implants or different technologies in your body, one of the things that does happen is cell phone towers will activate at certain levels these implants, and they'll set off a hum and a ringing that you'll hear, and it'll be constant, and it can just kind of drive you over the edge.
There are some that, yeah, and it's a really, really high pitched, almost out of the audible sound.
Yeah.
But it's some days it's loud, and some days I just look up in the sky and I'll say somewhere, you know, in my home, okay, guys, it's a little too loud. Can you turn it down? And it goes a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
It's, you know, now it's just like. Or is it shielding?
You're breaking up there, Dale.
How about now?
You're a little bit clearer there, but...
Okay. I'll let you go. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, it's been really nice talking to you. And I'm glad to know that you're at Mount Shasta, and you're a wonderful place.
Thank you. Yes, I am Lumarian too, by the way. I'm also go by the name Spirit of Mount Shasta here on the blog as well.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Everybody know that. All right, folks. Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Dale. Bye. All right. We're gonna actually let's see here. 678's been holding for quite a while now. 678, are you with us? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Who is this?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, absolutely. Who are we speaking to? Your name?
My name is Cyril. Cyril.
I'm sorry? What was your first name again?
Cyril, like Cyril.
We're having some technical. Is anybody else catching that? Did you have a question for Lavendar?
Yeah, I have a general question for her. And it's about Atlantis.
Okay.
And my question is, why was Atlantis allowed to fall? And I understand that Atlantis had a lot of beings from other planets who had come over here to help. Why did they not help with the bad things which are happening in Atlantis before it fell?
Well, a lot of beings that came were responsible for it falling. It was a very advanced civilization, and the misuse of power and energy, they went totally off the rails with science. And they weren't balanced with their spiritual nature and science, and they were starting to create things, and they were called the things. They took animals and people and genetically did experiments and made them slaves. That was one of the things that happened. And they misused the power of the great crystal. And these were very, very high beings. These were not ordinary humans that were involved in this. So, and the Pleiadians were part of a group that came down to, and the Orions and the Arcturians came, and it was their decision. It was their decision that Atlantis had to go. They weren't here to save it. They were here to make sure that it happened. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's the truth.
Okay, why did they not try to save it?
It had gone beyond 55 critical mass. They couldn't save it. There was a place where the whole planet was in jeopardy. They had to take it down, or else the whole planet would have been in jeopardy.
Okay, some people escaped to Egypt and other places before the final sinking of Atlantis.
That's right. A lot of people went to South America, to Egypt, to different to the Americas. There were people taken up in ships and planted all over the planet in different places that had lived in Atlantis, and their bloodlines started flourishing.
Okay, why did some of them escape? Yes, sir?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay, where were some people allowed to escape from Atlantis and others were not?
That was just the way it was. It was the ones that were holding the bloodlines and the balancing, they found the ones that they could trust not to cause any more problems on the planet.
You know, it kind of sounds like we're at that juncture right now on this planet, too.
It could be that in a few years, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to move on to our next caller. Who would that be?
Looks like 775 has been waiting for a while.
Okay.
Go ahead and pull them on. Hello, area code 775.
Hi.
Hi. Who are we speaking to?
This is Roz calling from Reno. Sorry, you just called me from the chip in my mouth.
Well, you've been waiting for a while, so you were dropping a snack. Did you have
exactly.
A
no, I don't have any questions. I don't have any questions. I just called to listen into the show. Very interesting show. Very interesting.
Oh, okay. Well, wonderful. We'll go ahead and put you back on mute here, and we'll go on to the next caller.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm guessing it looks like, eight, no?
Yeah.
Let's go with 340. They've been on hold for quite a while. 340, you're on N5D Radio. Can I get your name? Hello, 340.
I'm right
and
here.
I'm
sorry. No, I'm right here. I had the mute button
okay.
on by accident.
That's okay. I've done that many times. What's your name?
I'm Tressa. You had gave me some great advice over on Facebook. Tressa,
oh,
I'm
okay,
from the Virgin
wonderful.
Island.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Excellent. I'm glad you listened.
Well, not only listened, but also, I mean, you constantly, I have to give you some great compliments on the 5D TV cycles. I mean, you constantly keep me busy reading and looking at videos.
Awesome. Yay.
Yeah, but I had a question. It was kind of in conjunction with what I asked you, and you brought out another. And I said, oh, he's right. When I was asking about the asking Lavender when about the the short term memory loss that I have, and then when you spoke on about the dreams, and I said, yeah, lately, and this is a question to Lavender. Lately, I've been having very intense dreams that Greg had brought up, and it's like when I wake up in the morning, it's like I literally, it's like I went to work. I'm waking up exhausted.
Well, you know, a lot of people are stepping out of body at night, going to schools, going to areas of disaster. There's different levels of beings that have different assignments. But one of the things I'm finding is when you come back to your body too fast and you wake up and your feet hit the floor like you're on the way to the bathroom and you go, oh, my feet, they hurt. Oh, what did I do to my feet? And then you come back to bed and you go, wow, I think I've been hit by a truck. I'm just exhausted. And that's because you're having to adjust to your physical body.
Okay, because I've been kind of worried about that, and Greg has put me at ease with, not only that, but with the short-term memory loss, because lately I've been, gosh, I'm almost forgetting, like this. I can't even think of words to say sometimes.
Well, it will increase your silica in your body. Your memory will start getting better.
Okay, thank you.
And go to the health food store and find brain food. Feed yourself a lot of brain. They've got a lot of things now in health food stores to help your memory and your brain. I know that after being hit by lightning, I had to go and find different things to reconnect my brain with. So, and making sure that your serotonin balance is right. And now that we have the technologies that are pointed at us nonstop on the planet, we have to take the time to ensure that our brains keep functioning the way they need to. By silica and by eating properly and trying to get enough sleep. And, of course, the cell phone towers are really playing havoc with people's sleep patterns.
Well, I've noticed down here in on St. Thomas is that island-wide, they're rewiring all the telephone towers down here. It's like they're putting up new wiring up here, and now they're trying to take all the a lot of the wires, now they're putting them underground. And it's a big island-wide project that they're doing down here.
Wow.
And I was like I said, I wish I had one of those power busters and put them on all over the place.
Yeah, I really do admire the people that have been getting in their cars and putting these busters around at the cell phone tower places. That's wonderful.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Thanks.
Kendra?
Yes. Let's see. I think it was the Bryant 8120, correct?
Okay.
Not quite sure.
Yep, I got him on. Bryant, are you there?
There you go.
Bryant, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to N5D Radio. Bryant, 8120. Maybe your mic is on mute, too. Okay, well, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to move to our next caller from area code 870, you're on N5D Radio. Can I get your name, please?
Yes, hello, Greg. This is Connie in Arkansas.
Hi, Connie in Arkansas.
Hello, Connie. Hi.
Have you two met?
I think so, Greg.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh. For those that don't know, this is my mother.
Hi, everybody. Kendra's my beautiful daughter.
Mom, did you have a question for Lavendar?
I sure did, yes. I know she does a lot of work with crystals, and I'm very fascinated with the crystal skull phenomena. I was wondering if what she feels is going to happen, and will the skulls all be found and brought together, and what does she think is going to happen?
You know, I really don't talk much about the crystal skulls. I don't. It's
okay.
Not anything that it doesn't have my name on it, but I do know that a lot of prophecy and a lot of things have been happening with other
mm-hmm.
people that I talk to about it. Whereabouts in Arkansas do you live?
I'm right on the border of Gainesville, Missouri, and right in the center portion of the northern part of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I love Arkansas. I love hot springs, and I love the Mount Ida area, and you know that whole crystal bed there.
Yes. My daughter Kendra and I have been crystal digging many times at the mines in Hot Springs.
Oh, that's great. Well,
yeah.
We take a Starseed Crystal Quest. We take people there on crystal digs a couple of times a year, and it's absolutely marvelous. It's a beautiful state, and it's you know, on the license plate, it has natural state.
Yes.
I thought that was so
yes.
appropriate because when I do people's charts, that's the first thing that I do is find their natural state, and then the second thing I do is find their rites of passage. So when
uh-huh.
I saw natural state written on the tags in Arkansas, I went, oh, I'm home. I'm totally home.
Yes, it is a beautiful place. I had another question. It concerns, you touched a little bit on walk-ins already. I was wondering, is this exchange always a positive thing, or have you ever heard of anyone coming in that was negative and taking over someone's body?
There have been, I would say, you know, a small percentage years and years ago when they were first trying to get it perfected, but I haven't really heard of anything in the last 25 years of anything negative like that happening.
Okay, I was curious because I believe I know of one that was.
Now, possession is totally different than walk-ins.
I see.
You know, you there can be astrals that will come and take over a person, and that's not a walk-in.
All right. So maybe possession. That's what it was. Okay. And this person said he saw himself step out of his own body and go through the wall and never come back. And when I looked into his eyes, he was totally different looking. His voice was different. And his whole complete personality was changed forever, and it never went back to normal again.
Wow. Wow. I'd like to see his chart.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. All right. Well, Mom, we're going to go move on to other callers that have been in line, but thanks for calling, as always.
Thank you, honey.
All right.
I'm so glad you live in Arkansas.
Thank you. I am, too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lavender, I had a quick question, actually. Now, I know that there's, some people, well, a lot of people are born with birthmarks. And some of them have very odd shapes, some of them very distinguishable shapes and everything. Is this some type of, like, branding or identification or something that's symbolic of anything that has to do with extraterrestrial starseed connection? Or do you have any insight on that?
I started tracking something like that years ago, and I do find that there are bloodlines that pass on markings on the body. And some of them have patterns, like the patterns of the Pleiades or the patterns of Orion, I've noticed that through the years, that there are groups of souls that come through bloodlines that will leave, birthmarks, absolutely.
You mentioned this to me during my reading, that some of us have received those crystalline implants that you mentioned earlier. What is the purpose of these? And I know you touched on it earlier. And why are certain people chosen for this?
Well, it's not chosen. You chose yourself to do it. See,
okay.
Before you came, you put your hand up and said, when I get down there, if I can't remember who I am, you have permission to come and give me an implant to help me remember.
Okay.
That's one reason.
Mm-hmm.
Other reasons are there are some people that simply are tagged so that they can get readouts on the evolution of the species. So not all of them have the same purpose.
Now, doesn't that violate free will?
No, it does not. No, it does not. Because they agreed to do it before they came. They said, okay, you can go ahead and tag me. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. And what can you tell us about the people who are here and are activating codes in other people?
You mean with the, I think you're talking about the electromagnetic fields that turn on that activate others?
Yes.
That's really starting to increase in frequency right now. I'm noticing that more and more people, are being activated into their high frequency beams. Sometimes a person will get up and have breakfast and get dressed and go, what am I going to do today? And all of a sudden they get this thought, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to do something. And they go there and maybe just buy one thing, or maybe they go there and buy nothing. But by them being at this store at that moment in time, maybe the person standing behind them is activated. And maybe that was the only thing you needed to do for the whole day. It's like,
I find that fascinating. Yeah.
How you have, it's a subliminal frequency that kind of goes off. It's not a thinking process. It's not anything that you would be able to probably relate to. It's just that you go do it, and once you're there, you've actually activated this whole place or the person or whatever the beam of energy is having you to do. It's a natural thing you're being. Why? Because you carry the electromagnetic frequency of activation.
And that's fascinating that you mentioned that, too, because, well, as you know, we're having this conference coming up here in Sarasota, and one of the speakers who I've never met and wasn't really familiar with me at the time either, he told Helene Lifson, who's the co-host of this event, that there's something about me that I need to have my face on the picture because it's going to be unlocking codes for other people. Just there's some kind of energetic imprint about my face. And myself, I'm an introvert. I don't like being the center of attention, and I just don't like having my face and anything else out there. But, you know, I did it reluctantly, and who knows? It just reminded me of what you were saying about that whole energetic decoding and unlocking of the codes.
Too late. You're it. Too late. You're it.
Oh, man. I wish I wasn't, because I don't know why universe chose an introvert for this, but...
Well, see, that's just part of, you know, that's just part of an introvert is really an extrovert that just hasn't come out yet. So you'll get more, this event that you're doing in October is going to give you a great deal of confidence. You're going to get real resilient in this, and I feel like it's going to be wonderful for you personally, professionally, and you're going to get your feet really into the ground with it, and your head will remain in the stars, but this is going to give you a great foundation of how you're going to proceed after October. I really feel that.
I think you're right, and actually I'm entering my third decan of my chart, and from this point forward, everything is just totally off the boards in a great way. So I know some huge things are going to happen, and if that affects me, it's going to affect millions of people in a great way too.
That's very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
What are the dates? What are the dates of your event again?
Oh, it's October 4th through October 6th of this year, and it's during a new moon. So it's going to give us that opportunity to put out intentions, and it's really exciting. The timing couldn't be perfect.
Oh, great.
Any more perfect. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I know that we have our Starseed Quest that starts on October 8th. In Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
So those first 2 weeks are going to be really jumping on the planet with you
doing
definitely. What you're doing in Florida and what we're doing in Arkansas. That's going to be something, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to be lighting up the grid.
Absolutely. You know,
awesome.
A lot of the Atlanteans came to the Arkansas area to get their crystals, but they took back crystals that they actually mined in the Arkansas area. And before they had their final destruction, they brought crystals back, and they put energy beams and high-tech technology inside the crystal veins that would be activated at this particular moment in time now.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Lavender, I had a quick question about crystals. Do you know where moldavite originated from truly? Is it just a coincidence that this arrived here on Earth? Is there something special about moldavite that's different than, you know, than other crystals, or is that just some kind of propaganda to get people to buy it?
You know, I really don't know. I like moldavite. I like it, but I really don't know where it came from. No, I don't know.
Okay.
I do know the Canadians brought chocolate.
Did they really?
They did.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the nice dark chocolate, right? Not the genetically modified stuff that most of us get nowadays.
Yes.
But that's interesting. That's really interesting. All right. Well, Greg, did you want to bring in another caller then?
Yeah, definitely. Let's look. We're looking at area code 901. 901, you're on N5D Radio. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Lanice.
Hi, Lanice. Welcome back.
Hi, I have a question about the starseed degrees in the chart. Is it 24, 25?
No, 25, 20. 26, 27.
Okay. Do you have to have all of those, or can you have just one of them, or do you have to have all three?
Well, those are the degrees that I track from. A person can have one. They can have, you know, the house cusp count. You know, the house cusp around the chart. The planets, they count. The asteroids, they count. So, you know,
do you know
your chart?
Yes, I do. And the reason why I asked, I heard about this before a show where you were talking about it, and I got my chart out, and I found out that I'm 27 degrees Venus in Gemini.
Your Venus is 27 degrees Gemini?
Yes.
Well, that makes you a lot of fun. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it gives you the ability to balance out the trickster energy, to be able to rise up and hold your divine feminine in your body. And depending on what it's aspected to or what house it's in, would tell you how it operates. Do you know what house it's in?
It's in the 10th house.
Well, then that's how the people view you and how you view the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it gives you a lot of spunk, and it also gives you a lot of discernment, being able to tell the truth in people. I'm sure people come up to you and just start opening up their life story, and you're going, why are these people telling me this?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah,
and
that
even
Venus,
now,
27 Gemini will do that.
It's like I'm in this new place, and things are changing, and I'm manifesting, and my discernment has really increased.
Yes, when you have 27 Gemini, whether regardless of what planet it is, what you're tapping into is the mastership of your discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And the stronger you get in your resolve about who you are and why you're here on the planet, the more activated it becomes.
Yeah, I've been really activated. Last year I had a situation where I went through something. I don't know if I had a walk-in or just what happened. I got just sad, and I didn't want to do anything, and I wasn't eating. I was jumping from a sleeping to a standing position. Heart was racing. It was just, I don't know what was going on, but I think something happened. I don't know exactly what it was, but when it was over, it was over. But it was very scary.
Well, are you okay now?
Yes, I'm okay now.
Well,
but I don't get much rest. I'm still like, it's like the other lady was saying, when I go to sleep, it's like working a job.
Yeah,
it's like
we have a lot to do out of body, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I call it human by day, ET by night.
Yeah, I am so tired. I get more exhausted from my sleep than I do my wake time, and now it's like it's draining me, and I don't have a lot of energy. So
Linnaeus, is the volume up on your computer? Because I'm hearing an echo on your end.
I'm on my cell phone.
Okay, I'm not sure where this echo is coming from either. Okay.
I don't hear it on my end.
Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
So how do I kind of balance out my energy and get more rest?
Well, first of all, you probably need more silica in your body. Eat watermelon, strawberries, oatmeal. Go to the health food store, get you some silica. And that'll help you, because the kind of work that you're probably doing out of body is probably burning up the silica in your body when you come back so fast. If you heard what I said a while ago about your feet hitting the floor, and if your feet hurt when they hit the floor, it's a good indication that you've been out of body and you just came in too fast.
Yeah, it's like I would just jump up all of a sudden, and it was so scary. But I kind of got used to it, and I asked for it to slow up or get a little bit more gentler, and that's not happening now. But as of Sunday, I did get some silica. The last time I was on a call with you, I remembered that, and I was in Whole Foods, and I got some silica. It's a silica-magnesium mix, and magnesium seems to help me as well.
That's good. That's a good combination.
Mm-hmm, silica magnesium. And I've been taking it since Sunday, and I feel a little better already. I'm more calm, and I don't feel as anxious and irritated.
Where do you live? What state are you in?
I'm in Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of ley lines and a lot of energy going on from Nashville to Memphis right now. Okay. So we're going to see probably a lot of weather and maybe a few little earthquakes. Lots going on between Nashville and Memphis.
Okay. So with that 27 degrees Gemini, does that make me the star seed?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I am. All right. And I didn't know if you had to have all three or could you have just one, because I researched it the last time.
No, you can have just one.
Mm-hmm, just one.
All you,
yeah.
Yeah, it's all you need. It's one signal in your frequency in your body that gives you the attunement to rise up and be all that you need to be on the planet. Absolutely.
I think it's going to happen, but it looks like I've had so many barriers and such a hard road, and I finally feel all of that shifting in me coming to my authentic self.
The other thing that I might tell you to do is when you step in the shower, take you a whole box of salt, wet yourself down, step away, rub salt all over you, pour some right on the top of your head, stand there for a minute or two. And then mm-hmm. when you have the water wash off, you'll hear this swoosh, you'll hear this pop. And that really will disconnect you from thought forms, from being an empath with other people's problems, or even from technology if it has a hold on you. You know, like cell phones, mm-hmm. phone towers, and so try the salt. And don't just use a little bit. I mean, use a whole lot. Use a whole box.
And lavender.
Okay.
Are you talking, what kind of salt are you talking about, lavender? Because I just want to make sure that the listeners understand exactly your instruction on that.
Well, any kind of salt. The plain old salt from the store, or kosher salt, or sea salt. I would not use Dead Sea salt from the Dead Sea, though. You know, they call that Dead Sea for a reason, and it's because it was nuked. I really try to tell people to be very careful of the Dead Sea salts.
Okay. I found out that Himalayan salt is a little better.
Oh, I like Himalayan salt, absolutely.
Himalayan salt. A question about the salt. Now, during that time last year when I was going through all of this stuff, my blood pressure went up, and I think it's down now, but I'm not sure. Would that affect my blood pressure? Would it increase it, the salt?
Oh, the salt on top of your body? Oh, no, it has nothing to do with your blood pressure.
Okay, well, I was, I had been doing it, but I stopped because I didn't know if it would raise my blood pressure. So
no, it will not.
And one more thing that's weird. I get scratches on my body that I have of unknown origin, I'll put it that way. And one time I had, on each one of the back of my elbows, I had two scratches the same length. It was like they were twin scratches, and I had two of them exactly like it on the other arm.
Well, it sounds like to me they're taking your body up, not just your soul out of body. It sounds like you're physically being taken.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you think
okay,
that's
Lanice.
Same? Okay.
Okay, we got to move on. We still have a bunch more callers and a lot more questions to go here. All righty,
okay, well,
but thank you for calling in.
All right.
All right, you want me to leave you on?
I'll continue to hold. Yes, I'll continue to hold.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sounds good. Take care now. Okay, now here's a question I've been wondering. How often do soulmates stay behind on the other side and do not incarnate with their twin flame?
A lot.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
They do that a lot. Yeah, I find a lot of people that are yearning for their soulmate, and sometimes they're not going to find him in this lifetime because they're aboard ship helping them and conducting work from there. I find that
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Okay. And another question I had. I have an infrared binocular that I brought with me when my sister and I went down to visit my parents in Fort Myers, and I spotted this huge UFO and tried to show my sister, who couldn't see it, and it was huge. It was unmistakable. You know, I took the binocular from her and I checked it out, and it was still there. I couldn't believe that she was unable to see it due to its size. Now, I've seen many UFOs throughout my life, but there are people, and a lot of people, who live their entire lives without ever seeing one. So why do UFOs seem to appear easily for some people and not for others?
Well, there was something in her something within her that was blocking the vision of that. It's that you were able to see it, but she was unable to see it. And it's not because you didn't want to. It's because something literally was keeping her from seeing it.
It was huge. Unmistakably huge. I've never seen a UFO that big. I was wondering about that.
So does she believe in everything that you believe in, or is she different?
No, definitely. She's a big follower of my website and everything that I'm doing. It's just, it seems like maybe at that point in time, it wasn't the right time for her to see it.
I guess so. Huh.
Yeah.
Love and dark, could fear be possibly a reason? I've heard before that sometimes, you know, they sense fear in us and they don't want to push us over the edge or cause us to, you know, they have sympathy, I guess, for us that, you know, are a little bit scared of certain things. Is that a possibility, do you think?
It is. You know, this group that we took to Hot Springs in October, they were so in tune, and there was no fear within the group, and therefore the ships were able to come down and be over the water, and everyone was able to see them. In fact, their energies were so high that when they came out from their cabins and the van would come by to pick them up, they were all standing there, and the vans just kept driving by. The van would call and say, "Nobody's out here for me to pick up," and then on the other phone, the girls are going, "Why isn't the van stopping?" It's like their vibrations were so high that the van driver couldn't see them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had lots of ET activity on our quest in October. And again, we had it in April and May, too. It's like when you have a group together, but if one person had fear, they would not have come. You're right. They won't.
Mm-hmm. Lavendar, my daughter was conceived when I was 33, which is obviously a master number. If it wasn't for my daughter, then N5D would not exist, nor would we be having this interview with you. What is the importance of soul contracts, and why do certain people come into our lives at specific times?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but the way I track it is that you agree before you're born what it is that you want to do later in life, and especially after things that happen after the year 2000, we all are, you know, are positioned in different places on the planet to do different things at different times, and therefore it's a time sequence. It's like a time release capsule that goes off in your system, and so when you agree to have, you know, a child, the child picks you because you have already picked them before you ever came.
Mm-hmm.
It works like
that. Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's part of the Pluto and Scorpio group, and they are going to rock this world. They really are. I'm so excited about what they're going to bring us.
You know, when I got on the airplane to fly to Cairo, Egypt in November of 1983, Pluto entered Scorpio on the day that I got on the airplane. And I said, I'm going to mark this date because it's going to be important later. And sure enough, Pluto and Scorpio really brought a lot of things to a lot of people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was really something.
Wonderful. Lavendar, I'm going to kind of just ask a real quick question that goes back to your 50 Questions and Answers book. And you had mentioned in there about there being multiple gods creating beings like, you know, mankind here on Earth. Are these same gods also creating our souls or just the 3D bodies?
Oh, well, the way you asked that question, gee, I don't know how to answer. There's many gods that function at many different levels. On this particular planet, we have, like the Pleiadians now, are really in charge of most of the bloodline experiments on the planet. And we are their children. A lot of Pleiadian beings are here because they seeded us, and Orion too, and Arcturus, a lot of them. This is the playground of Earth for extraterrestrial experiments on the planet. And this is how this particular evolution of this planet is being conducted, by 33 different species are running simultaneously on the planet their offspring. Does that answer it for you?
Kendra?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Wow, I hate that mute button. Yes, it does. It does help quite a bit, because I, you know, one of the things that I've struggled with quite a bit is, you know, the idea that these gods are creating the body, but who is creating the actual soul? Where does the soul come from, the source of the soul? And, you know, if these beings, you know, are able to create our bodies, do they also have the, I don't know, I guess, right to destroy us as well?
I really can't comment on what you just said, because that's not how it works. I'll tell you one of the things that happened to me not too long ago. They took me aboard ship and took a drop of my blood and then showed me my astrological chart on a screen from one drop of blood, which meant they knew the time, place, and date and where the planets were when I was born. I came back. I looked at the ceiling for 3 days over that, because I knew then how they were doing their tracking of the offspring on the planet. That was the last piece I needed to track my 25, 26, and 27 degree planets. That one just really, and we don't have technology that can do that. One day we probably will, but to think they can take one drop of blood and know exactly where and when and where the planets were when you were born. That's just immense.
Phenomenal.
I have a question from Jen Diaz on Facebook, and she wants to know, how can we learn about other starseed markings besides Pleiadian?
What was her question again?
How can we learn about other starseed markings besides Pleiadian?
Well, I'm in the process of writing the manual.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm writing the manual of how I'm finding different soul groups with these markings. So far, mm-hmm. I have identified the Jesus, Mary Magdalene, the Christian area, the Athena, a 96 goddess area, Atlantis, the crystal masterships. I'm working on now Native American Indian markings.
Okay. So, let me ask you this, too.
Yeah.
Do you find that members of soul groups who don't really remember each other from the other side of the veil, that they tend to gravitate to be with one another right now?
Absolutely. That's what we found with the Starseed Crystal Quest that we put together. That's what happened. The minute that they met at the airport, you know, and then the whole week that they were there, and they bonded so close, and they stay very connected, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's got to be some devastating, I think, unless it's at the right time. I mean, if somebody's already engaged in a relationship and then they meet someone that just completely and totally resonates with them, unlike anybody else, then, you know, you're dealing with a lot of drama on top of that. So I have a feeling that the timing has to be pretty precise with these happenings. Is
yeah,
that correct?
When you think about it, Kendra, that we've lived and loved and died with a lot of people, okay? When you think about mm-hmm. how many lifetimes we've had, that eventually you're going to start meeting a lot of those. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to rip up your marriage or your relationships. Hopefully you'll be evolved enough to go, okay, I've loved you before, now so what? Okay? Really.
Go ahead.
I mean, you can lose yourself by, you know, acknowledging and start remembering some of your past loves. You know, you mm-hmm. can, it can weigh you down. You have to be in a really balanced state to be able to see them, acknowledge them, see them, and move on.
Right.
How many soul groups do people typically have?
You know, I'm finding groups of five now. I'm finding a lot of my clients are, I'm seeing there's a pattern of being hooked up to five separate soul groups at the same time. It's like they've been threaded these particular soul groups. Like if they happen to miss finding a group in one, they'll find a group in another one.
Well, it's interesting because you're the one that told me that I have a soul group. One of my soul, I have five soul groups. One is in Atlantis. One is the Mesoamericans, and I have three others. But I just found it interesting that at this convention that we're having, I believe it was Lisa Renee that also mentioned that we're going to be uniting five different soul groups specifically at this convention. And I have a feeling it'll probably be even more.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear she's talking about that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very exciting, definitely. You know, it seems like some people are all about love and light, and then you got other people who are the galactic warriors who fight in the name of love and light. Are these ultimately two different star families?
It's not about families, it's about assignments. You know.
Okay.
It's like, you know, everybody can't be an elevator operator, okay? So, it's about assignments. Some are equipped in their physical bodies. Now, the ones that have the strong electromagnetic energies, you know, they can put their hand up and there's an invisible sword in it, okay? But others may not have that. That may not be their job. People need to figure out what their name is on. Just because someone else is doing something doesn't mean you need to do it. You need to find out what resonates with you, what feels comfortable for you. Where can you stand in the scheme of things? And that's one of the things that I do when I do sessions with people is I help them find out, you know, where do you fit in the scheme of things? What's your natural state? What's your rites of passage? You know, because everybody has a different outlook on what they should be doing, of course. But I'm finding people are saying, I'm here, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. That's what I hear the most, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think people are starting to, the people that asked me that a year ago, they're not asking me that now. They found it, they're on it, they've jumped on it and put their whole body, soul, and resources behind it, and they're on their way. And that's all about is helping to activate people into their starseed codes to figure out who they are, why they're here, and let's get on with it.
Awesome. Lavendar, I know we're running out of time, but we have a question here in the InFiveD chat room from Sean Cohen, and she wants to know if you know of any famous people who are or were walk-ins, like maybe Elvis or Tesla.
And we've only got 2 minutes left. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I know a lot of
we can
a lot
extend
of,
over
a lot
a little.
Of celebrities and a lot of famous people that have those markings. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, Lavendar, could you tell our listeners how to find you?
Okay, I'm on starseedhotline.com, and then we have a radio show on blogtalkradio.com/starseedradioacademy at Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. And we have archives of the past 2 years that are real interesting. So, yes, if you want to contact us, now, Arielle, she does the starseed confirmations, and she's like 2 months booked right now, and I'm about booked that way myself. But if you don't mind waiting, we would love to have time to talk to you and spend time talking about your star markings. And I want to thank you so much for having me on your show. And Kendra, I'll be talking to you soon, I understand.
Yes, ma'am, you sure will, and I'm extremely excited over it. a lot of questions that have been unanswered for far too long, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I do specialize. I do specialize in solar return timing. I take a person's chart and show them their 10 hours of power for their birthday and how to maximize their energies because your blood crystals are 1,000 times stronger on your birthday than any other time of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. That's so unbelievably awesome.
Well, you're coming highly recommended, too. I know Kendra was looking for somebody specifically to have a chart reading done by, and I said, you got to check out Lavendar.
Yes, and
so,
I'll be
yeah.
Kendra.
Ma'am?
I'll be seeing you soon.
Yes, you will. Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you so much, Lavendar, for being our guest, and it would be wonderful if we could have you back. Maybe sometime down the road. That'd be awesome. Thank
I'd
you so
to.
Much
thank
once
you.
Again. And thank you for
thank you.
Thank you for being our guest here on N5D Radio.
Okay.
All right. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So next week, our special guest will be metaphysician Sean Cohan, who is a psychic, medium, tarot reader, writer, artist, and past life regressionist. So be sure to tune in as we'll be talking about messages from the spirit side, signs that you are being contacted by spirit, tarot tips, and much more. Sean requested for our listeners to call in with your deepest fears or your most perplexing problems so she can sort it out for you once and for all. And Sean's right here in the chat room with us here on N5D Radio. So on behalf of my co-host, Kendra Gilbert, this is Greg Prescott from N5D.com. Namaste, everyone.
Bye-bye.